Very good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will get started. Father, it is good to be in your house today. Lord, we're thankful for this time that we can reflect on your resurrection. Lord, the significance of that moment in history, it truly is a defining moment in our history. And Lord, I pray that you would help now. As we enter into this time of looking into your word, I pray that you'd use it to be a help, Lord, in our spiritual lives, that you would accomplish what only you can during this time. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Luke. As you make your way to Luke chapter 24, I want to share just a quick story with you. If you choose to smile throughout the story, that is fine. I would just ask that you not laugh during the story. All right. You may say, why would I laugh at the story you're about to tell? Well, because it may not portray me in the best light, but don't laugh just yet, because you might be able to identify with me a little bit better than you care to admit. So the story goes like this, that a little over a year ago, our family was at a banquet here in town. And the real purpose of this banquet was to serve as a fundraiser for a corporation or for an entity here. And so, because we believed in the cause, I had a desire to spend some money at this fundraiser on some items that were going to be auctioned off. One of the items that was going to be auctioned off was a membership to Anytime Fitness for 6 months. I was interested in that because I had never been inside the building of Anytime Fitness. I had never seen what the equipment was like. And so I thought, if it goes for a reasonable price, I'm going to bid on that and I'm going to try to win that. Well, eventually in the auction, as it progressed, this certificate came up and the auctioneer began asking for different bids on that particular item. And slowly, for exercise equipment, the bids began to come in. Not a lot of interest in exercise certificates. So I thought, this is great, this is good, I'm going to get this at a reasonable price and help the school out that we were there to support. And so the auction went for just a couple of moments on that particular item. And sure enough, I was the high bidder. I had just won myself a six-month membership to Anytime Fitness. A couple of days later, I went up there and I did all the paperwork that was required of me to get the membership started, and I was looking forward to this. It was for myself and Susie. And so when everything was all set and done and settled and in place, a day or two later, I went up there on my lunch break, and it was nice and quiet. There was hardly anybody else in the room, and so I really enjoyed the atmosphere. I enjoyed the environment, and I went home that day, and I told Susie, I can really see myself liking this place. I said to her something like this, I think it'll stick this time. In saying that, I said to her, I want you to go with me pretty soon to see what it's like. She agreed to do so, and she went with me. And she is more of a treadmill kind of a person, so she went and she walked on the treadmill. We left, and I asked her what she thought of it. I asked her what her opinion of the place was, and she said this, that's fine. I thought, well, you just need to go again to really get the full effect of this. And so we went back again, and she went on the treadmill again. And as we left, I asked her a similar question to what I had the previous time. I said, so what did you think? And she said, it was okay. She said, but I prefer to go to the youth center more than Anytime Fitness. And so I said, well, that's fine. I'm going to keep going to Anytime because, again, this is going to stick. I think it stuck out of that six-month membership for about 3 weeks. I went a few times during that three-week period, and then I found myself sitting at home saying to myself, yeah, I don't want to go tonight. I don't want to go this afternoon. I've got other things to go or to take care of during my lunch break, and I'll go some other time. And some other time never came. So our membership expired, and I may have entered into that building 5, 6, 7 times. Now, I don't think you would do that, or what I'm about to say. I don't think you would do this morning, but I don't want you to blame Susie for my lack of interest in Anytime Fitness. Now, again, you wouldn't probably accuse her of being my reason for not going there. I want to explain something about me this morning that, again, I think some of you can identify with, and that is this, is a phase I have gone through an untold number of times in my life. This time I'm going to exercise, and this time I mean it. This time we're going to be serious about our gym membership. I'm done donating money every month. We're actually going to get our money's worth out of this. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to get ourselves in shape. And guess what? As you can tell, it hasn't quite taken hold yet. Over the years, I've bought a treadmill. I've bought other pieces of equipment. I have bought weights. We have bought videos. And no matter what we have done, it has not stuck. Now, this morning, if I were to ask you how many of you can identify with what I've just mentioned, I bet most of you could identify with that. Every one of us have been on at least, I would suspect, every one of us have been on at least two diets in our lives. Because the first one didn't take hold like we thought it was going to. Some of you may say two. I did that this week. I did two on Monday, right after lunch and right after supper. I was like, no, it's going to change now. Some of you have bought equipment and you have sold equipment. Some of you have bought equipment and given the equipment away. Some of you have bought the equipment and it still sits at your house. And you say to yourself, why am I holding on to that? Why do we do that? Because we are people who are cyclical in nature. We are people who tend to do things in cycles. How many of us have ever known people like this? They got excited about crafts. And so what are they going to do? They're going to get into crafting, and they're going to do this and this and this, and they're going to sell it, and they're going to make money. And it's their passion, it's their hobby, and this is what's really going to excite them for how long? Days, maybe, weeks, maybe, or months. But now they've got a lot of crafting material somewhere that never gets touched. Now, that may not be anything that's happened to you in those specific areas, but I just want us to realize this, that every one of us have gone through cycles in our lives where this is so important and we're going to stick with this, only to realize yet again we did not stick with that. You know what culture calls that? They call it fads. They call it trends. Maybe the flavor of the month. But the world is fully aware of this truth, that most people don't stick with things very long. We hit it, we go hard after it for a while, and then pretty soon we fade and no longer have the passion for it that we once did. Now, this morning, as you think about that, this morning, as you keep that in mind, I want us to look in Luke's gospel and his account of the resurrection, all right? In Luke's gospel, in his account of the resurrection, Luke is going to say basically what the other gospels declare is that Christ had risen from the dead. In understanding that and keeping that in mind, I want us to see what Luke said in verse number 41. It says, "And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat?" So in Luke chapter 24, verse number 41, here is what Luke said of the disciples. This is who he is writing of. He said of the disciples in relation to the resurrection that when they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? So what is Luke explaining to us in his account of the resurrection? He is explaining this, that because of their joy, because of their gladness, because of all of their emotions that were flooding the disciples at this time, it said they had a hard time understanding or believing that Christ had truly risen from the dead. I think if we think about this from a logical standpoint, we can understand how that struggle would take place, right? I think many of us have had those extraordinary moments in our lives where it's right in front of us, and yet at the same time, we're wrestling to really realize or to really grasp that this is true and taking place in our midst. And so here are the disciples, and Christ is in their presence, and they are overfilled with joy. They have all this gladness and happiness and excitement within them, and they are struggling to believe it. And yet here is what we know, is that throughout the next several days after Christ rose from the dead, Christ was going to prove to the disciples repeatedly that it was truly him who had risen from the grave. Now, as you think about that, you would have to think and you would have to assume, I believe, that that would be some of the greatest moments in the lives of the disciples. But here's what we find, is that the disciples were humans like you and I. And you know what they struggled with, just like you and I? They struggled with consistency. They struggled with consistency, and one of the greatest examples of the struggle with consistency amongst the disciples is the life of Peter. If you read through the account of the Gospels, if you read through the stories of Christ and his dealings with those men who traveled with him, Peter is one of those people that just kind of stands out from all the rest. And Peter struggled in his daily life sometimes with consistency. And so this morning, as we think about how Peter was overfilled with joy like everyone else and struggled to believe the resurrection of Christ, I want us to turn now to the book of John. In the book of John, if you turn over to chapter 21... here is what we realize, and here is what we see happening and taking place. The resurrection of Christ has taken place. Christ has proven his resurrection to the disciples. This is no longer in question. This is no longer in doubt. The disciples know for certain that Christ has risen. And yet the excitement of that truth has waned. It's no longer as thrilling as it was in those initial moments. It's no longer as exciting as it was in those few short days afterwards. And so now this is where the disciples find themselves. They are no longer on this mountaintop experience. They are no longer experiencing this spiritual high. The realities of life have set in. And so what we see is this of Peter in verse number 3 of John chapter 21 is this. It says that Simon Peter saith unto them. Who is that a reference to? It is a reference to the other disciples. He saith unto them, I go a fishing. Why would Peter decide to go fishing? Well, first of all, that is the life or the livelihood that Peter had prior to his conversion or becoming a disciple of Christ. Peter understood the fishing industry. He was comfortable with the fishing industry. This was something that Peter knew how to do. And so here is what happens in the midst of everyday life, in the midst of everything that was going on, there had to have been some discouragement. There had to have been some frustrations that led to Peter saying this, coming to this conclusion, I go a fishing. It says in verse number 3 that whenever Simon made that declaration, they say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And so what is Peter doing? Peter is going back to an old way of life, to an old routine that he knows again, that he is comfortable with, and he says, "I'm going fishing." And he takes others with him, with his struggle and with his attitude. So we find in verse number 15 that Christ shows up on this night. And in verse number 15 it says this, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Peter, he responds by saying, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He, Christ, saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." Now, if you and I are familiar with this portion of Scripture, then here's what we know, is that line of questioning takes place on three different times or on three different occasions. Christ says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter's response is, "Lord, you know that I love you." And so to that, Christ would say, "Feed my lambs," or "feed my sheep." Now, why would Christ have to say to Peter to feed his lambs or to feed his sheep? Well, the realization or the implication is pretty clear as you look at this, is that Peter had basically determined, "I'm not going to do what I've been called to do. I'm not going to do what I've been commissioned to do. Though Christ called me years ago to be a fisher of men, I'm no longer going to do that. I'm just going to go back to fishing." And here is what Christ was saying: "Peter, do what I've called you to do. Peter, do what I've commissioned you to do. Peter, just do what it is I've told you to do." Why would Peter have to be told to do what God or Christ had already commissioned him to do? For this reason, Peter, like you and I, he was cyclical in his life. He had these moments of great passion and great fervor for Christ. He had these moments where he was determined that he was going to live for the Lord. And then the very next thing you see of him is him denying the very one that he said he was going to die for. You had Peter, who was the outspoken one, who then had to be put back into his place. You see Peter over and over and over again being here one moment and then being someplace else in his spiritual life one other moment. And so over and over again, what we see in Peter, again throughout the Scripture, is he was never really as consistent as he should have been. It was a constant fluctuation of where he was at in his spiritual life. And so here is Christ saying to Peter, "Peter, just do what it is I've called you to do. You don't need to be fishing. You need to be a fisher of men. And you need to be feeding my lambs. You need to be feeding my sheep." Amen. Peter, just do what it is I've called you to do. This morning, as we think about the example of Peter, his own fluctuation in light of the resurrection, as we think about Peter and his own struggle to just be consistent in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one that Peter had declared his faithfulness to at times past, as we think about that, I want us to think about this question: is it possible for you and I to also be cyclical in our spiritual lives like we find ourselves to be in so many other areas of life? The answer to that question, we all know, is this: yes. Not only is it possible, it is probable that it has happened to every one of us at different times. Could we be honest enough and admit that this morning? That in our spiritual lives, we have struggled at times to be consistent And so therefore, what we see in our spiritual history is this: cycles where we are up, where we are down, where we are up, where we are down, and where we have failed to maintain who it is we're supposed to be as children of God. Somebody may say, I don't know exactly what it is you're talking about, so let's consider this for just a moment. How many of us have ever said things like this, either to ourselves or maybe to someone that we felt we could confide in? We've said something to this effect, that I am going to get more serious in my personal walk with the Lord. I am going to get more serious in my personal walk with the Lord. So what did that look like? Well, for all of us, it probably looked a little bit different, and yet there would be some similarities in our routine. So how many of us have ever said things like this: I am going to be more faithful to the house of God. That is an important aspect of my walk with the Lord, and so I'm going to be more faithful to the house of God. I think many of us have said that at different times in our lives. And kind of like me with my membership to the gym, it was one of those things where we were there and we were consistent and we were in for a while. But what happens? The same thing happens in the lives of everyone. The excitement of it wears off. The new of it begins to wear off. And what begins to happen? We begin to fade in what it is we know we're supposed to be doing. It happens. It's not as exciting as it once was. The thrill is not what it once was. I'm not getting the same rush that I did whenever I first began going. And so what happens? People began to fade, and they began to slip, and they began to miss here, and they began to miss here, and they began to miss another service, until what happens? Till eventually they're right back to where they were before they ever began. Not going at all. Sometimes it looks something like this: I'm going to wake up early every morning and spend time in prayer. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up early every morning and spend time in prayer. And man, it's fun for the first couple of weeks. But what happens? It gets tough. It gets difficult. It becomes a challenge. We get tired. We get exhausted. And so that time that we were once spending in prayer, we're no longer spending it in prayer like we once did. Somebody says, I'm going to be more faithful in reading my Bible. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up earlier. I'm going to stay up later. I'm going to turn the TV off. And I'm going to spend time in the Word, because that is what's important to me. And what happens? It fades. And people who were once reading the Scripture, they're no longer reading the Scripture like they once were. And yet, if you could look back at their lives, here's what you would see, is that they have been through that cycle so many times. They read their Bible for a few weeks, and then they quit for several months. They read it for a few weeks, and they quit for several months. I'm just saying, the Christian life, like Peter's, it seems to be cyclical, does it not? Well, it's a struggle. I don't care how spiritual we think we are, it can be difficult to maintain consistency. People say things like this: I'm going to be a better witness for Christ. I'm going to be more vocal in my testimony for Christ. I'm going to pass out church tracts. I'm going to invite more folks to church. Whatever it is, it happens for a while, and then it fades. If I had to be honest about my spiritual walk with the Lord, what I would have to tell you is this, is that for so long, it looked much like my exercise routine. Go after it and quit. Go after it, slack off. Go after it, get distracted. Go after it, get bored with it. Whatever it would be, there has been a history of cycles, phases, and fads in my Christian life. where I did not stick with it like I should have. Now, this morning, I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to be assuming the worst of anyone. But I wonder this morning how many of us would have to admit that your spiritual life has looked much like what I've just described. Up and down and up and down and up and down. No consistency to it whatsoever. It doesn't mean that you don't come to church, but if you had to be honest, you'd have to say sometimes it's the only routine or the only part of my routine that has stayed consistent is coming to church. But even in that, it hasn't been what it should be. I just wonder how many of us would have to say, you know, we've been in that cycle in our spiritual lives of up and down, and not what it should be. If that is what we would have to admit to this morning, I'd like to remind us of what Christ would say. I think to an extent, as Christ dealt with Peter somewhat gently and somewhat softly and somewhat tenderly, I think Christ would want to say to you and I this simple statement. Believer, just do what it is you know you ought to be doing. What it is I've told you you're supposed to be doing, just do it. Of course, the words would not be feed my lambs or feed my sheep, but the admonition and the encouragement would be for you and I, come on. You know what it is you're supposed to be doing. Stop fluctuating so much. Stop being so inconsistent in your spiritual life. Get off of that roller coaster of your spiritual life. Stop going through the cycles. Just do what it is you know you're supposed to be doing. I wonder how many of us this morning just need that simple reminder. Stop going through the up and down cyclical approach to your Christian life and just be what it is you're supposed to be. Amen. I don't think I'm the only one who has ever struggled with that. I don't think there's no one in our midst this morning who is not struggling with that. I think if people would be honest this morning, we'd have to say, well, that's a struggle. And we just need to be reminded to do what it is we know we're supposed to be doing. I think every one of us know this, if we're honest. Every one of us know this. That whenever we decide to do something, and we decide to just stay with it, even when it's not exciting, even when it's not thrilling, even when it isn't everything we would want it to be, there is still such a measure of satisfaction that comes in knowing we didn't quit again. I just want to let you know that if you decide to just do what it is you know you're supposed to be doing, and you get off of that roller coaster and you just stay with it, there is a measure of joy and satisfaction that comes in that approach to life. It's not easy. It's not what the flesh wants to do. It's not always fun. But when we live in obedience to what God has for us, there is a level of satisfaction that comes from that that cannot be beat. And so this morning, I'm just asking you, do you need to hear that thought, that idea from the words of our Savior? Come on, just do what it is you know you ought to be doing. And if you need to hear that, I would plead with us to yield to that, to submit to that, and to say, Lord, today I want to do what I know I'm supposed to be doing, and God, with your help, I'm going to stick with it this time and not fade in the days to come. Do we need to just stick with it and do what it is we're supposed to be doing? Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as I come to you this morning, Lord, I hope that this message has made sense and that this message has been a help to us, a challenge to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be honest in our relationship with you and our walk with you. God, it may be that there are some in here this morning and they know exactly what it is I'm talking about because right now they've cycled off of where they should be in their walk with you. They're not doing the things that they promised they would do. They're not doing the things that they've committed to do. And there's really no excuse for it other than just life got in the way and life got busy and they've just quit. Lord, whatever the reason would be, I pray that you'd help us to just commit today to get back in to doing what it is we know we ought to be doing and to stay faithful no matter what. I pray that you'd bless the invitation today. In Jesus' name, amen.